Well, we trust the Lord to be with us here this morning. Trust Him to give us words and something to feed souls with this morning. The Lord is just full of good things. And when we run out, He hasn't even begun. I believe that. I want to start in Ephesians 5 and verse 8. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." I just want us to think a little bit this morning about our lives and about what the Lord wants to give us this morning. He says here, "Ye were sometimes darkness." You know, darkness in Scripture, it denotes evil. It denotes wrong. It denotes the things the enemy sends out of his arsenal against people. And the Bible says here, "Ye were sometimes darkness." And another Scripture says, "Such were some of you." You know, we were at one time in darkness. We were at one time allowing the enemy to have his way in our lives, weren't we? Many of us were. But you know, this morning it says, "Ye were sometimes darkness." That just includes all the things that causes people to suffer from the enemy. Whether it's dark, dank, evil things, or whether it's just strifes and things that steal from us our peace and our quality of home. It says here, "But now are ye light in the Lord." And I want us to think about that this morning. Now it's different. Now are ye light in the Lord. You know what light denotes in the Scripture? It denotes understanding. It denotes things. It denotes truth. It puts forth the things that we relate to light. What light does for us in this world, I believe this is what we find when it tells us, now it says, "Now are ye light in the Lord." Completely different than darkness. Completely different than all the things that steal people's souls and steal their lives and steal their good things, their purity, their peace, their eternal home. Those things are darkness. But He says, "Now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You know, this morning, when we see the light of God and we see what God has and what God is and who He is, He wants us to open up our hearts and walk as children of light. The Lord wants our souls to be filled not with darkness, not with things that we are ashamed of, things that we can be reproved of, but He wants us to walk as children of light. Let the light of God fill our souls. What is in the light of God? All the treasures of God, all the things of love and life and holiness and purity the Lord wants to give us in our lives. Things that make people feel peace. Things that make people know things is okay. The Lord wants to give us in our lives this morning. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That's what light is this morning. It has no bearing, and I say that, it has no bearing upon whether we are rich or poor, or whether we are well or not well. The things of God are for everybody. The light of God, He wants to illuminate something down in here that this world can't do. We see the world, I think about all around us, the world is filled with more and more inventions. It's filled with things that marvel the mind. We carry phones that on them, it's a computer in itself. Things that I used to have to bring my laptop to every service. Well, now, if I'm not really using it, it's right there on the phone. Clark's commentary, the Bible, the dictionary, all those things, it's all right there on the phone. It's a marvel, isn't it? But you know, in spite of all the technological advances we have, the world isn't getting more peaceful. People are not getting more satisfied in their souls. There's still wars going on everywhere. There's still, as the Bible says, wars and rumors of wars. There's still on every side we see homes attacked. We see less homes together today than maybe there ever has been in our history, I think. And yet, we have all of these advances. He tells us, you were sometimes darkness. I want to tell you, it's not in here. We can't think it enough to make it happen. It's not within us. People begin to think, well, it's within me. And you see them meditating. You see them in these transfixed states. We've been out places in the mountains before and seen people just sitting there just as still as can be. And they'll sit there for hours trying to get deep in their soul. It's not in us. It's not in the world. It's not in the darkness of the world. It's not in exploring everything we can find. Walk as children of light. That's what the Lord wants to give us this morning. He wants to give us out of His treasure houses, treasure house of wisdom and light and peace and hope. The Lord wants to put that down in here in our souls. Walk that way. Fill our lives up with it. It's something, it's a gift of God. I want to look at Colossians 2 and 2. And look at these scriptures here. It says that that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Folks, this morning, you know where it is? You know where what we seek for is? It's in Him, where it's hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom that people seek for in life, that they wish for and they hope for. It's found in the Lord this morning. It's found, it says, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The light, the understanding that we need so in our hearts. Oh, how people long for something. You talk to people constantly. It's the same story, wishing. I heard a person, Rosie and I took off for just one day. Just over a day, a couple hours over. And it was nice to get away. But you know, we were standing in a place and I heard a man talking on the phone. And I could tell, probably talking about his wife and talking about what she was doing and how she was lying and all of these things. And I just think, Lord, have mercy. When the Lord died that we might have life and that we might have the light of life in our hearts and in our soul, the understandings of the Lord, it says, in whom are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know this morning, there are things that are hid from the world. The world cannot see. They cannot see the blindness because of their wickedness, because of their away from God and not able to see those things. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants to open His treasure house of wisdom and knowledge to our life. Oh, young folks, I want to encourage you. I know you haven't been down the road a long ways yet, But some of us have been down a few more years than you have. And I want to tell you, if you want to find life, if you want to find peace, if you want to find the things your heart longs for, then search for God with all your heart. He has the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hid up in His Word. We find them when we search out His Word. We search for His ways. We search for His paths. And we say, well, I see people in the church. I want to tell you something. God has it for us. And if we will get it, I see people that have it. I know people that have searched for it and found the hidden things of God that brings life, that brings real life, that the technology can't afford, the things of this world can't bring, the things that people search for, the places they go cannot bring. I want to tell you, there's nothing that can bring the kind of peace that knows, if I die right now, I believe I'm ready to meet God. There isn't anything in this world can do that. And you know what? We're going to meet God one day. It's something we have to deal with, isn't it? We do. We have to deal with that. We have to know it in our heart. I have to meet God one day. And it's not going to be very long. And you know what? In Him are hid the treasures of wisdom and the treasures of His ways. You know, I see all around us, we see things. The world is advancing at a tremendous rate. When Daniel spoke and wrote that in the end times that knowledge would be increased, I will tell you, it's increasing exponentially. It's increasing all many times over. Just in a person's lifetime, it's so different now. Just in 30 years, 20 years, 10 years even. But I will tell you this morning, there isn't more peace in the hearts. There isn't, I don't know that there's any less wars. It seems like there's wars on every place that you see. People struggling to gain the foothold all over the place. You know what this morning? We'll never be able to fix the whole world. But I will tell you what, we can carry with us the light that we read about. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. He wants to light our life so that we do carry something that matters in this world. People, when they see us, they should see light. They should see something the world doesn't have. They should see in our homes and in our lives something the world doesn't have. It's the light of God. It's His wisdom manifested in our lives as we search for Him and as we allow Him His place. The answers are in the treasure house of God, where the hid treasures are that He wants to just give liberally to all of us this morning. I want to read in Proverbs 9 and 1. This is a most interesting proverb. It starts out by saying, wisdom hath builded her house. It talks about wisdom as if she was a queen. And she is beginning, you read on down and see of what it speaks of her. And it says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. You know, this morning, I believe those seven pillars denotes a number that maybe is more than seven. A number that encompasses completeness and fullness. You know, wisdom is built upon the principles. It's built upon pillars of principles. Things God's Word puts forth. And as we put them into our life and we search for them and we humble ourselves to them, no matter what argument is, as we humble ourselves to those principles and those things that God has given, the unmovable truths of God's Word, as we allow those into our life and allow those a place, you know, it says wisdom hath builded her house. How does she build it? What is the wise way to work in our life? How do we build our life on the on the unmovable pillars that God put in place, the principles of His Word, the things He has given us, the truth that He has given us. Wisdom hath builded her house on these pillars. And you know, if we want our house built that way, we'll have to build it on the pillars that God put in place, won't we? The unmovable truths of His Word and of His truth. It says, she hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath furnished her table. You know, it reminds me of when Jesus said that that the kingdom of God is like the man that called a feast. And he sent out those to come to the feast. Maybe we'll read that, I don't know. But it says she killed her beast. That means she's killed the fatted calf. She's provided the meat. She's furnished her table. She's furnished the drink. The feast is ready. Wisdom has done that. You know, today, wisdom hath provided a feast for us. God provided that. In his wisdom, He provided for us a feast. And it says here, it's ready. The table has been furnished. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. And you know what she says? She sent out, come to this feast. There's a feast. Wisdom calls this morning. There's a feast. I want you to come and partake of it. I want you to have the good things at my table that will bless your soul. I want you to eat and be satisfied at this place. And it says here, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. It's not calling for the wise. It's not calling for folks that knows it all. You know what? It's calling for the simple. The folks that don't have very much understanding. I can't get it. That's who wisdom's calling. Come to this feast. Come to this table. Come to this place where God has set it up and partake. You know how we partake? We dig in. We hear His Word. We look at the principles of God's Word. We humble ourselves to them. We allow them that place in our life that they're supposed to have. That's how we put them in our life. That's how we build our life on this place, in this place of wisdom that God wants us to have. And you know, when we build outside of that, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in darkness. We'll find ourselves partaking, getting the consequences of darkness, of not building wisdom into our life, not building the principles of God into our life. And so as we see and as we look into the Word of God, we don't want to just read it. That's not enough. It's not enough to know it. We have to humble ourselves to it. We have to take away all our defenses and say, Lord, build in my life Your words. I repent of my ways. I want no more of my ways. I want Your ways. I want to build my life that way. And I want to tell you, the outcome of building your life upon God's principles and truths is that He satisfies that little place inside called our heart, that longing that we have, that wish that, oh, I wish life could be right. Can we believe it this morning? Who will believe it? Who hath believed the report this morning? I want to tell you, the Word of God sends out. She sends her maidens out. God sends the calls out. Come to the feast. Come to this place that I want you to eat from. Does it mean that we all know we're in life? We all know we have many things to face. But I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to fill up our life. He wants to fill it up. He wants to give us of His feast. And He's putting out His call this morning. Come to my feast. Come to my words. Let them fill your hearts. The places that are devoid, let me fill them. I've got principles for that. I've got truths for that. But they come at a price. And that's why we don't get them. They come at a price. We have to humble ourselves to them. We have to allow the Lord. Yes, Lord, I want that in my life. I want your ways. I want your thoughts. I want your words to live in my life this morning. She crieth. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. This is God's table that he's speaking of, furnished for us this morning. And she says, come and eat of my bread. You know, Jesus said that he was the true bread. He was the bread from heaven, wasn't he? You know, until we eat of the true bread, we're going to search all life long. We're going to work hard all life long, searching for that thing that fills the soul. And yet Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. He said, I am the bread, what did he say, that came down from heaven? Did he not? And he spoke of his blood, his drink. That offended some. That seemed so foolish for him to say that. But he says, come and eat of my bread. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. I want us this morning to not put this on sinners. Folks, this is for sinners and saints. Forsake our foolish ways if we have some. If there's ways in our life that are not founded upon God's ways of doing things, they don't match His Word when we read His Word. And there's so many different things and ways that can be. I want to tell you, let's humble ourselves to it instead of giving a reason why we don't. Just humble ourselves to it. Lord, I want your word to live in my life. I want your word to be rich in my life. I want it to be rich in my life, to be real in my life. I want to hear your voice in my life. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Listen to this. He that reproveth a scorner. Why does it throw this in here in the middle of this? He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Why does it say that? Because that's the way the wicked are. That's the way the scorner is. You speak to them those words of life and they get mad at you. That's the way it is. But it goes on to tell us a little secret about eating at the Lord's table. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Isn't that true this morning? To a wise man, they want to hear every word of life, every word, whether it crosses me or not. Lord, I want your words because I know they bring life. I know they please you. I know they're words that will bless my life this morning. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Young folks, I want to say this morning to you, remember something. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the first pillar you're going to come to. Fear the Lord and allow Him that place in your life. Don't take our way and be wise in our own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, the Scripture says. For by thy days... For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, well, I'll go on from there. You know, the Lord wants to give us of His ways. I thought about the scripture that says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, the words of the Lord are what we partake of when we come to this feast. The Lord wants to give us. of His Word and of His way. The bread of life, that's what gives us strength for the journey. Have you seen people, and I have known people like this in my life, that no matter what came, no matter what was thrown, they kept going. Oh, it might hurt them a little for a while, but they kept going. God gave them strength. That's what the bread of life does this morning. Come to the feast. Partake of it. The meat of God's table gives us light and understanding. We understand more of His ways through that. I want to read the scripture we quoted, Matthew 5 and 14 to 16. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, what's this good works? It's just part of the light. When the light comes into your life and you give it its place, your life begins to flow out. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, that's the way the life the Lord wants His people to be this morning. He said, you're the light of the world. Where do these good works come from? It just comes right out of the inside of you. It's part of that flowing out that God wants to do. Is it true that we have to just barely make it all the time? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe God wants us to flow out to other people, to grasp hold of His promises and of His Word, and allow our life to shine to other people. How do we shine? He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It says that we're a city set on a hill. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. You know, the Lord's going to put our light on a candlestick. It's going to be some way. It's going to be maybe through persecution or affliction. It may be through distress and troubles. And you know what the Lord is wanting in all that? He wants more water to flow out of us. He wants more of that thing that quenches people's thirst to come out of our life. He wants it to flow through our life. It comes that way when we look up to the Lord and away from those things that would drag us down. I just want to encourage us this morning. Drink of the fountain and let it flow through our life. In 2 Timothy 2, it speaks of 2 and 25. In meekness of instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, I think of this scripture very often. We live in a world where it seems like many people oppose themselves. It seems like you can say, oppose themselves. You ever seen somebody oppose themselves? You ever seen a man that keeps drinking and his family suffers and he hates himself and he gets over it for a couple of days and he's like, I don't ever want to do that again. And he hates it and he just loathes it. And he hates what he does, and he tries to make up to his wife and children, and then a weekend or so later, he does it again. He's opposing himself. You know, we can oppose ourselves in lots of ways. Let's don't oppose ourselves. The Lord tells us to be able to share with people something in meekness. We don't, these folks coming to Guthrie next weekend, we don't want to look down on them in a way that makes them feel our criticism. We want to look to them in a way, folks, we've got something a lot better than what you're experiencing. All this wickedness God is going to judge, but I want to tell you something. God has something a lot better than this in store. Do we not have that? In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to be able to help people. But we've got to have it in here first. We've got to be first partakers. Let's come to the table and let's partake of God's commandments and of His ways, of all His things that He tells us, His personal dealings with us. Let's stay with it. When the Lord deals with us, let's don't forget it. Let's humble ourselves until we get the grace to really live what He's revealed to us. Let's humble ourselves before Him. Okay, Lord, I see a place there I never saw before. That takes a mighty humbling sometimes. And I want to tell you, I believe out of that comes life. Out of our belly flows then. For the rest of our life just flows. Flows to people, helping people, serving people, comforting people, strengthening people, encouraging them in the Lord, warning the wicked. The Lord wants that to flow out of our life. He never plans for us to get saved and that kind of be where we're stuck, right there. I'm sorry, Lord, and that's the end of it. He wants our life to be one that overcomes, one that flows out of us to other people. But that takes a digging, because we have to get our eyes off of whatever it's on. And believe me, it's different for every person. But we have to get our eyes off of those things and get it on the Lord and on His will and on His ways this morning. Luke 14, starting at 15. I just want to read this little place here where the Lord talks about this supper. And when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, he said unto him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Oh, shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I love fresh bread. It's good. It too much of it's not good. But fresh bread that's hot, it tastes good. It strengthens us, doesn't it? And he said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" You know, the Lord is putting that call out to us continually. Continually we hear it. Come. We have so many meetings and so many times we meet together and hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord is beckoning, come, come, come. But there's a problem here. There's a problem. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I've bought a piece of ground. I've got business to tend to. Maybe later. But I have something I got to take care of first in my life." The first said unto him, "I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused." And another said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Got a little life to live first. I want to see what life's about. I want to tell you something. I am so glad I never wasted those years. It was times of growth where God gave me something good in our life. Rosie and I don't boast in this, but I will tell you, we wanted to serve God. We wanted to do His will. We wanted to give our lives to the work of God. I want to encourage all of us young folks, make that decision in your life. I want to give myself to the work. I want to give myself. I'm glad I didn't marry a wife and say, I married a wife and I can't come yet. I see people that lose those years. Those are valuable years. Don't lose those years. Give them to God. And another So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Where are we at this morning? This is for us. If we feel like we're maimed, like we're halt, we can't walk like others can. I've been watching my mother-in-law get older and she can't get around like she did. And you have to help her now. You know, I hate to see that. But you know what the Lord says? Bring them into my supper. You that feel that way in your life, my life's halt. It's been hurt. It's not working right. I want to tell you what God wants to do. He wants you to come to the supper. Come to the supper this morning. And the bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. That's maybe where these folks are coming this weekend to us. Leave some tracks around. I haven't done that at this point. But let's do our little part here. He said, go out into the highways and hedges then, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know, that always kind of strikes a little fear in me. I want to come. I don't want him to say that. They're not going to taste of it. You know, while the Lord calls to our life, that's the time to get on. That's the time to come to the supper while he's calling in our heart and in our life. When the Lord speaks to us, let's move into that place. It may not always be there. Because, see, we can't come on our own necessarily. We can't decide, well, I've lived my life, now I'll turn back. I know the Lord's pretty merciful, and usually he takes folks back, I believe. But I will tell you, sometimes it's a hard... most of the time people feel like they're too entrenched. I can't get back. You know, this morning, let's yield to the Lord. Let's come up to his table. Lord, you've provided a table. And it's built, wisdom hath builded her a house. And it's on these seven pillars. It's on all the words of God. It's on all the precepts that you have given. Let me search them out. Let me know what they are. I want to put every one of them into my life and into my heart. I don't want one to lack. Lord, teach me your ways and show me your paths. And I want to tell you something. The Lord teaches folks like that. And they partake. And out of their belly begins to flow rivers of living water. You want to be a blessing? Partake of the Lord. And let him begin to use your life. And don't be afraid to be a light, a city set on a hill, a light to the world that they're going to scorn. We know that. Lord, bless us each one this morning that he's set a table, folks. Let's partake of that. Amen.